Hi, welcome to CDH Conversations. I'm Tiba Solomon and I'm a director in the corporate and commercial department here at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, and I specialize in technology and communications. I'm chatting today to one of my colleagues, Emma Kingdon, who is a consultant in our corporate and commercial department and who specializes in entertainment and media law. Hi, Emma. How are you doing?
Hi, Tiba. I'm doing well, thank you.
Emma, so this is obviously the sexier side of law in general. Let's start off by asking the most important question. Did you get around to watching the Oscars in the last week?
Oh, I wish I had, but they're very long. So I happily just watched a few of the highlights, especially looking at all the lovely dresses.
And any particular movies or actors that were on your agenda or that you were looking out for?
Well, I was a bit surprised about Oppenheimer getting so many awards. I actually fell asleep when I was watching it. But I guess it was the popular and more Oscar-worthy option of the whole Barbenheimer phenomenon of last year. So not really a surprise.
Did you see Barbie?
I did, yes.
And did you have any thoughts on Ryan Gosling's I'm Kid Enough performance?
Oh, I thought his performance at the Oscars was brilliant. It really added a new dimension to the Oscar performances. Hopefully we can see more of him.
Yeah, he can really sing. That's... So Emma, we're on the back of, you know, awards season, which is always really interesting. So we've seen the BAFTAs, the SAG Awards, the Oscars, and all throughout we were hearing a lot about the strikes that had affected the industry last year. What's that all about?
Well, the screenwriters and actors in the States are heavily unionized, and their unions negotiate on their behalf the basic terms of engagement with the studios and the producers, and then those are generally applied across the board. And last year, both the unions, the screenwriters' union and the actors' unions, reached a stalemate in their negotiations with the studios. So they downed tools, as it were, in May of last year, and tried to continue the negotiations with the studios and the producers, and it went on until November. Their main concerns were around changes that they wanted to have introduced into their contracts to address residuals, as well as certain developments that were being made in the use of AI and other digital technologies.
Yeah, so it sounds like the sort of reference to residuals is quite important, but can you explain what are these residuals?
So residuals refer to money which is paid to the actors and the writers as part of their fees for their services rendered, and it's based on how often a work is reused. So in traditional media, it's how often a show is broadcast or how many DVDs are sold. But obviously with streaming, it's much harder for actors or their agents to know how often a show is watched. So the actors and the writers feel they're being undercompensated in that realm by the streaming platforms. And then also on the AI front, they were trying to get protection against, the writers wanted protection against their writing style being regenerated by the various AI tools. And the actors are obviously concerned that their images might be digitally reproduced.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're thinking about the sort of ubiquitous nature of ChatGPT, it's incredible to imagine, you know, a world where you could take the likes of a, you know, script or a screenplay, perhaps, you know, written by Aaron Sorkin or Quentin Tarantino, and finding that that's being, you know, digitally reproduced, it's almost scary to imagine.
Yes.
I mean, you know, because you think about the kind of scenario where the likes of Quentin Tarantino could be sort of replicated using AI without necessarily consultation or you know, how that impacts on him, but it has much bigger implications for artists and creatives who are lesser known. But the strike did come to an end. And how did it end eventually?
So eventually agreement was reached on an increase in the percentage that the streamers would pay to both the actors and the writers. And the revised contract that now will be used by all the producers and the studios in engaging with actors and writers will contain protections around the scenarios in which technology can be used in respect of their works. So basically, if an AI-generated character has a recognizable facial feature of a real actor, and that actor's name was used in the prompt to generate the character, then the producer must get the actor's consent. And on the writer's side, they've reserved their right to prohibit the use of their material to train AI. So I guess it will be more difficult for someone to put into ChatGPT, for example, certain prompts like, as you mentioned, Quentin Tarantino, produce a script in the style of Quentin Tarantino. If the AI tool hasn't been trained with Quentin Tarantino's material, it should presumably protect him against his style of screenwriting being reproduced. But in my opinion, the victory was a bit of a Pyrrhic one. The strike resulted in something like 45,000 jobs being lost. And apparently many actors and the other related workers in the industry. So it's not just the actors who were affected. It was people who formed part of the lighting crew and the sound people and the gaffers. They apparently, a lot of them were having to sell or remortgage their homes, using their pensions and their savings to cover their day-to-day costs. And so, you know, one really does wonder how much of an increase in the residuals they'll need to make up that loss. And meanwhile, the share price of Netflix continues to soar. So it really showed up where the balance of power rests in this whole economic arena, because it clearly rests with the studios and the streaming platforms. And as for the protections against AI, it doesn't look to me like that the actors and the writers have won anything new. It'd be interesting to see how the consent requirement, for example, with the actors, you know, requiring their consent before you use something that looks like them to generate new media. It'll be interesting to see how that works in practice, given that these actors are having to negotiate with studios and producers who clearly have the economic power. And also, how easy will it be to determine if an actor's name was used in prompts?
Yeah, I mean, if you just think about the nature of AI, the volume of data and the volume of information, you know, the traceability factor seems to be almost impossible to imagine that you'll get it right in every instance and that you'll be able to identify who's potentially provided their consent and whether a name was actually used or not used in the prompt or whether it's partly used. So I think there are lots of complexities that come with trying to, you know, moderate and monitor this going forward. The most interesting thing is, you know, it didn't seem like the South African industry was impacted. Did it have any effect on us at all?
From the actors and the writers' point of view, not really, because in South Africa, we don't have unions for performers and writers. There are industry bodies who make recommendations regarding the standard terms of engagement. They produce standard contracts, but there's no enforcement mechanism. So there's no obligation on producers and studios and broadcasters to apply them. But generally speaking, in my experience, producers have applied those contracts and do honor what their industry bodies recommend and just generally are a lot more respectful of the rights of crew and creatives. And what we do see is that engaging South African talent is seen by the foreign producers to be much easier. And hopefully this, along with our weak South African rand, will cause an uptick in the foreign interest in our local industry. We could really do with this. We've seen a waning in the reliance on the incentive provided by the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition via its rebate schemes. Until 2020, the producers were able to use these rebates to finance their productions. Basically, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition reimburses producers up to 35% in some instances of their qualifying South African spend, whatever they've paid in South Africa on the production. And that is often used because it was paid promptly enough. It was often used by financiers to advance funds. But in recent years, the waiting periods and the heightened scrutiny that the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition has applied, in some cases totally unwarranted fashion, has caused the incentive to lose its allure. And this also really stymies local productions who have even less access to production financing than their foreign counterparts.
It's disappointing that, you know, we're not really supporting the industry in the manner that we should be. And because we have so much to offer as South Africans and Africans in terms of, you know, our locations and our talent and the stories that we're capable of telling the world. Is the strength of the streaming platforms in terms of delivering content and that balance of power good for South African content production? And what's the future for South Africa and Africa in terms of the film industry?
In my opinion, the streaming platforms are incredibly encouraging for South African content production. They provide opportunities for example, for a greater variety of formats. I don't know if you saw the recent series on Netflix called One Day.
I was a fan of the Anne Hathaway version. I didn't really get into it.
Oh, no. So there was a lot of debate about people who found the first couple of episodes boring and couldn't get into it. But the interesting thing for me about it was that the episodes were of varying lengths, depending on what the content required to facilitate the storyline. So, you know, that's something that in a, you know, a typical binge watching scenario on demand works really well, but can't be done in a traditional broadcasting environment. And then we're also seeing an increase of interest in foreign language productions, especially from Netflix. And also Showmax is getting stronger and stronger as a player in our market, and obviously much more open to all the languages that we have in our Southern African region. So, you know, these monumental advancements in technology that cause us so much trepidation and fear, understandably, particularly for actors and writers who see their intellectual property potentially being under-monetized and undervalued. It is scary, but I think we have to focus on the new opportunities that can be created by embracing what AI can mean for us. For example, I can imagine some areas in the production chain where AI could reduce the costs, which in turn would mean better margins for the producers, a more sustainable sector, and ultimately more content production. And there certainly doesn't seem to be any reduction in the demand for content, and certainly demand from all corners of the earth, all countries, and diverse elements of society. In a recent podcast that I listened to from Trevor Noah, he was interviewing Idris Elba and asking him what he sees the next episode of his career, what he sees himself doing. And he voiced it that he wants to facilitate production in Africa. So he's had this, someone like him who's had this amazing career, acting career in both the UK, the USA, he's an international face, actually wants to move into the production side of things, calls himself a vessel for the growth of a productive film industry in Africa, and wants to see the distribution of African stories in the international market. So there's clearly a demand for our stories. And if we can use technology to reduce the costs, to use our flexible workforce and our weak exchange, our weak currency, attract more local production, I think we can see an uptick in activity in our industry, which would be really exciting.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. And I can't wait to see, you know, what the likes of Idris Elba might come out for the likes of South Africans and for Africans, and how that content may be different or evolved in terms of what we've seen in the past. Emma, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me. This was so interesting, so insightful, and good to be able to pick your brain in terms of the film industry in South Africa and our prospect for the future. Hope to chat to you soon. Take care.
Thanks so much to Yiba. I enjoyed the conversation.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.